What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA, where we're smoking weed and talking mixed martial arts. My name is Jared. I'm here with Paul.
What up?
We're coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. This is episode number 74, and today we're going to be talking all about Bellator number 245 and 246, UFC Fight Night Vegas number 10. And we're also going to be taking a look at the rumors of Nick Diaz possibly returning to action in the UFC's welterweight division after a five-year absence. Before we dive into all of that, though, let's get started with our weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
All right, this week we are smoking on one kind of flower and one kind of concentrate. Paul just hit the PAX 3, which we have loaded up with some Skittles Terp Diamonds. I'm going to take that right now. Skittles, Grape Ape, and Grapefruit. And, of course, Terp Diamonds are THCA crystals. Rocking, what is it, Paul, like 95% THC?
Yeah, something like that.
Sitting in a nice, fine sauce of terpenes to add some flavor. I'm going to hit this. You tell me what you think. Oh, we also got some Blue Dream for flower.
Yeah.
Blueberry crossed with haze. West Coast Blue staple. Dream.
Classic.
I'm going to hit this here.
Yep. Well, and then this weekend coming up, we also do have we got a different kind of weekend. Normally, it's the UFC kind of, you know, taking over all the headlines. But I feel like the Bellator cards coming up on Friday and Saturday are just way better than the
UFC.
Well,
you know what, Paul? Let's be real here. It doesn't take a lot of effort to make a card that's a lot better than whatever UFC card happens to be on right now.
Yeah.
It's been pretty bad here lately, and this upcoming card, the headline fight is good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's Michelle Waterson versus, what, Angela Hill?
Angela Hill, yeah.
Used to be better. That was the co-main event.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, some of these things are getting knocked out by COVID.
It is what it is.
But they're also filled with a lot of... Yeah, Contender Series guys.
Yeah, fillers.
So, but Bellator, yeah, a lot of interest in both of those cards. Back to back, we got Friday and Saturday.
Making up for lost time.
I like it. And I got to say, all the way down the line, both of those cards are better than any that the UFC has put on as a whole in a while. UFC's probably had better headliners, ultimately.
Yeah.
But cards overall, these two Bellator ones are pretty nice this weekend.
Yeah, honestly, it sucks, too, because if you look back, that first card when we came back with the UFC, when it was Henry Cejudo versus Dominic Cruz, and what was the main event? It's beside the fact. Oh,
yeah,
Gaethje Ferguson.
Yeah, Gaethje Ferguson.
And that card was fucking stacked all the way top to bottom. And then like after that, it was like three good fights per card. And then it kind of got to two fights per card. And it's been the last couple cards, it's been like the top two fights are good, and then it's a lot of up-and-coming guys underneath. And then this card's almost like, was meant to have two good fights and then a lot of up-and-coming guys, but then with one dropping out, it turns into a lot of up-and-comers and then two established names.
Yeah, we had Thiago Santos versus Glover Teixeira at the light heavyweight division was the headliner.
Yeah, and I think Glover got it.
Yeah, the Glover tested positive for COVID, so that was done.
Yeah.
And these cards, just they're not deep enough to sustain these types of losses. And
yeah, especially the main event.
We're just coming off a weekend of fights where it was another one where it was just a terrible lineup of fights.
It was so bad they didn't give out a fight of the night bonus.
And the pay-per-view before that was pretty weak as well, especially with the kind of money the UFC's asking for.
Yeah.
Bellator pay-per-views.
But then again, have you seen what the pay-per-view lineup is for Gaethje versus Khabib?
Yeah, that's looking much better.
That thing is fucking stacked.
Bellator is not doing the pay-per-view model. They're just on DAZN.
Yeah, DAZN.
And it's a lot better value right now.
Supposedly they're leaving the zone, aren't they? And going to CBS?
That's what I've heard. CBS Sports.
When does that happen?
You know, that's where Luke Thomas is headed as well.
I wonder if
he's going to start.
Makes sense. Think about it. If I'm CBS and I saw what ESPN did where they aligned with Ariel Helwani at the same time the UFC aligned with ESPN, I feel like it's kind of a similar idea by them. It's like take the guy who's another like big.
Yeah, I mean, once Ariel slid out of that kind of independent spot, Luke's really jumped up on it. I mean,
yeah.
His whole viewership on YouTube has gone up, and of course, his SiriusXM radio show at one point here this year got extended to 15 hours a week of MMA content. That's amazing if you think about it.
Yeah, it's a
lot. I mean, that's 3 hours a day, 5 days a week.
It's a lot of fillers.
But he's sitting there talking about mixed martial arts on Sirius.
Fuck yeah.
Well, I'm happy that he got the promotion or whatever over there. That does leave a big gap, at least for SiriusXM.
Yeah, shit.
But, yeah, if he's going to CBS Sports, Bellator is as well. That could have something to do with each other.
Yeah.
But right now, Bellator is a lot bigger value than if you're paying for HD versions of UFC pay-per-views. Outside of a few big ones, I mean.
Yeah, true.
Whatever, it is what it is. Let's start with Bellator, though.
Yeah.
245 on Friday night. We see a couple of former UFC fighters.
And this is actually this main event is for the number one contender for the light heavyweight belt. Scott Coker's already announced it. The winner's getting to fight Nemkov. So we got Phil Davis taking on Lyoto Machida, which is
I like that they're not giving an instant rematch to Bader, by the way, because he's had those titles for a very long time now.
Yeah.
And that's good. UFC.
Well, and he hadn't fought at light heavyweight in 3 years, though. So that's it's what like I'm saying, a lot of that had to do with him. I feel like, not him losing, but I feel like a lot of him not getting a rematch is him not necessarily wanting to be a light heavyweight. You know what I mean?
It was a very convincing loss as well. But yeah. Phil Davis versus Machida, these are two guys, Phil especially, that I think still can go somewhere in the game here. They're they're established names, but they're certainly not over the hill, in my opinion. Lyoto, maybe a little bit from what he used to be, but Phil's,
yes, pretty freaking
Phil's in his prime here.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think Phil wins this fight. It's an interesting stylistic matchup, though, because I feel like if Phil's able to implement his wrestling, I feel like Lyoto will feel it. But if he stays at range, that's where Lyoto's always dangerous. You know what I mean?
He doesn't want to stay at range. Phil's striking isn't good enough to mess with Machida. I expect him to come in with his wrestling. And
yeah. That would make the most sense.
Some people might find it boring, but I've always enjoyed Phil Davis' wrestling for some
reason. Phil Davis is good.
I don't know why.
I've always liked Phil Davis.
Yeah, I thought he belonged to the UFC. Back. I mean, he left when he was ranked like number 5.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was washed out of the UFC.
I think it was a Reebok thing because he had a lot of outside of the octagon like he was one of the guys when that Reebok shit took over, he was pretty pissed off.
Yeah, he lost a good chunk of his income.
Yeah.
Enough to where he was, you know, seriously looking at elsewhere. He was probably happened to be at the end of his contract as well, where he could leave. I don't remember the exact circumstances, but I do remember he was ranked number 5 when he left.
Yeah.
It was a big acquisition for Bellator at the time.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I like Davis as well. Machida, I don't know. It's not that I'm not a fan. It's just I feel that once people figure Machida out, then that's that, and it's been that way his whole career. Like, I mean, we were gonna have this Machida era when he was light heavyweight champ, and then it was over and done. And then he does good, but when he gets up to the elite, they seem to be able to handle him pretty easily.
Yeah, but who at light heavyweight do you deem legitimately like real elite?
Well, it's a little bit different now that he's over in Bellator. I mean, that changes the scope of things quite a bit, which I think it's better for him. He shouldn't be in the UFC. No disrespect, but I don't really know enough about Bellator's light heavyweight division outside of these top guys. I mean, Liam is still around, I presume.
Yeah. Everyone's still pretty around, pretty much around.
I mean, the champ's been inactive for a while, and the division hasn't had a lot of shine on
it. Well, and him and Bader had a really, really close, Phil Davis, of course, had a really close fight.
Yeah, but I remember.
So you got to think Phil Davis is definitely still there at least a little bit that. As far as that, you know what I mean? And then Nemkov and him had a huge fight, a really close fight too. So it really comes down to where Machida's at physically, I feel like, because Phil Davis is strong. He's a strong, strong dude. And if he's able to take you to the ground and hold you there, it's going to be a long night for him.
Absolutely. There's another fight on here I'm happy to see, which is Kat Zingano making her Bellator debut against a fighter I've never heard of, I'll be honest. Gabby, somebody.
Either way, but the
point no disrespect is, to her. Yeah. She's 6-5. I think this is a matchup, and I'm sure she's talented, but I think this is more of a matchup. I mean, Kat's a former world title challenger in the UFC. Yeah. I mean, she has a win over Amanda Nunes when she was in her prime and her head was straight and she was in her peak form. She was very
unbeatable.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
And I expect, you know, this is a fight for her to get, you know, back on track here. Yeah. You know, there's no such thing as an easy fight. I don't think even in Bellator, but I think that this is an easier fight for her than just throwing her right into someone in the top 10 or something like that. So
absolutely.
I hope Kat comes out, does well. I was reading, you know, some comments from her online. She's excited to not be cutting weight.
Yeah.
You know, she's had some surgeries here in the off season too, where she's just feeling better. It seems as a person, feeling better as an athlete.
Another UFC vet that's also on this card is Liz Carmouche, making her first fight in Bellator. Another one of those ones that...
Liz Carmouche or Leslie Smith?
Both of them.
Both of them on the card as well. Wow.
Liz Carmouche.
I didn't realize Liz was on there. I knew Leslie Smith was coming on, at least this weekend. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, good, good, good. And these are all... Kat's at featherweight.
Yeah, Liz is, I think, 125.
And I believe, she's 125.
Yeah. But here's the thing, is she's another one that it's like, what the fuck were they thinking when they dropped her? I mean, they literally dropped her while she was doing a fucking UFC promotional visit.
That was so nasty, man. I read that and I just felt bad.
Yeah, like, it's terrible.
She's literally at a UFC event. It's not like she gets paid.
Yeah.
They're just like, please, athlete. Maybe they buy her a fucking plane ticket. I don't know. Probably. The UFC is pretty notoriously cheap.
Yeah.
But she's out there at a presser and then finds out over the air she's been cut. So stupid. She's a great fighter too. She's a lot for that company, and she didn't. It's not like she was on the way out or over the hill or shot or can't compete at a top level. I expect her to go in there and dominate.
I think so too.
And same with Kat, honestly, and I hope so for her.
Both them. I feel like these are both like a chance to really like show the Bellator fans like who they are. You know what I mean? Because I mean, it's a lot. It's been quite a while since we've seen Kat Zingano really like be dominant, and I feel like this is a chance for her to dominate and kind of show people why she was so popular before, you know what I mean? Because like people like me and you know her, but like a lot of people that maybe aren't follow it as close,
and it's all proof of a twist of fate, man. She would have been on The Ultimate Fighter, scheduled against Ronda Rousey, ended up in the big culmination of that, when Ronda Rousey meant something. You know, she don't mean as much now in the fight game, but that was the height of Ronda Rousey power. She was the huge shit.
Yeah.
And Kat missed out on all that. It, you know, it went to Miesha Tate. And then, we don't need to rehash her personal tragedies, but I couldn't be rooting for a fighter more on the Bellator card than I am for Kat Zingano. She's from my home state. Absolutely. Met her several times. She's super cool. I have a daughter. She was one of the fighters I used to like for my daughter to see, meet. She's met her before, you know, just a fan events and like she knows us, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I would bring her out when Kat would fight. And fortunately, it didn't go her way here recently.
Yeah, shit.
You know, she had that freaky thing with Megan Anderson with her toe and
toe in the eye and shit. Yeah,
it's like, good grief, man. It's good. She's got a fresh start to win Bellator.
Yeah.
And Leslie Smith, too, for that matter. You know what's funny? I'm smiling because I like Leslie Smith.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking shit about her.
Leslie Smith, you know who she looks like? Down on her shield, bro.
Her shield?
She's done a lot she's done a lot to try to unionize mixed martial arts. So I'm not talking any shit about Leslie
Smith. Dude, you know who I like to call her, though? You know what I like to call her in my head? I like to call her Jake Shield's sister.
Oh, wow.
Dude, she looks just like Jake Shields, bro.
You're an idiot.
That's no disrespect. Jake Shields ain't an ugly looking man, I suppose. But dude, look at them side by side. That's Jake Shields' sister. Like they got separated at birth somehow, and they both got into fighting. Those two could be twins.
But yeah, no. But she's one of the ones that like tried to do.
Dude, she did a lot. She tried to unionize
MMA, and then kind of just got released from the UFC in the end.
That's why.
like
Dana didn't want that shit, and she's outspoken about it too. And she basically, I don't want to say she sacrificed her UFC career, but in a way she kind of did. I mean, Dana don't put up with that crap over there. And she was super vocal. And God bless her, man. I wish she's friggin' fighters would
It was
listen.
During that whole court case as well.
Which is still going on, but stalled out due to COVID. Another thing that helps the UFC along in that regard. But best wishes to Jake Shields' sister.
You're ridiculous.
Leslie Smith. And all that she's done is appreciated. I wish more fighters would listen. I mean, the UFC's got such a hold on that shit. I thought it would lessen when Dana, or I mean when the Fertittas left, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to.
Because it makes it so there's no real mandated things like for any situation. The UFC can kind of maneuver left and right however they want with whoever's contract they want. Yeah. You know what I mean? When you unionize and you create, you know, like, parameters as far as, like, this is how much a it's just like any other union, whether it be NBA, all the great ones, like, in sports. You know, there's, if you sign a guy off the streets, like you would in a UFC or something like that, to fill a situation, there's a minimum you have to pay that guy no matter what if you're in the NBA or NFL.
Right.
In fighting, he can fucking sign you off the street and go, hey, bro, you're not making any money this year. You know that, and I know that. Here's 2,500 and 2,500. Win and show. You know what I mean? Like,
hello, Contender Series.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just the reality of it.
Mm, it is. Well, that's another reason that I'm happy to see these fighters over in Bellator, too, because they should be able to make up a difference in their fighter pay, you know, with sponsorships.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, it's also kind of the athlete's fault. Like, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, it's kind of their fault. Like,
what's 100%? It's like
they're choosing not to follow.
I mean, even in the midst of this pandemic would have been a perfect time. I mean, the last UFC card this past weekend had 7 fights on it, bro.
Yeah.
Went from what? So 14 fighters could have struck, gone on strike. For, like, better pay or unionizing or whatever, 14, and they could have shut down an entire UFC event on ESPN. Yeah. I mean, just think about that. There's never been a time when they have more power in
it
their
was
hands.
Just the wrong people fighting.
But nobody's going to do that.
Yeah, it's the thing. It's no one,
they're a bunch
no
of
one,
hungry fighters
exactly, yeah.
happy to get scraps, yep. man. I mean,
that's
no,
the thing,
no
though,
offense
when you fill
to them.
When you fill the cards with these, like, Contender Series guys and all that kind of stuff,
it's fucked
that's
up.
What ends up happening, you know?
You know what isn't fucked up? This Blue Dream right here. You know, I put a bunch of fucking Keef inside this as well.
Hell yeah.
This is very, very
well,
smooth.
Well, let's get back to Bellator. So then we got Bellator 246 on Saturday night. It's going to be main event is for the Bantamweight Championship, which is vacated from Horiguchi, who came down with some kind of injury or something like that. It's going to be Juan Archuleta taking on Patrick Mix.
Juan Archuleta, teammate of TJ Dillashaw's.
And also very former featherweight title challenger.
He's not like 26 and 2. His only losses are to Pitbull.
Pitbull, and then the other one was early in his career.
So he's very strong. And he's in there in the gym every day, fucking sparring with TJ Dillashaw, who's about
Dillashaw
to make his comeback in the UFC.
And was training with Aaron Pico before he switched over. Obviously now, but you know what I mean? That whole camp was all those guys, you know, it was just iron. Iron sharpens iron, man.
Dude, the difference in the way these raw cones, the smaller size, burn.
It's night and day.
I mean, we're just last podcast, we're talking about the XLs, the king size just burning like crap, and it's just perfect.
Yeah.
The three packs this past week, and they all just burned great. And they're not a sponsor, by the way.
Yet.
Yet. No, but seriously, that's nice. So that's a strong fight, man. And Mix is 13-0. Risen champ, right?
Well, he's a tournament champ.
Tournament champ.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Another strong fight.
He's hungry. He's very hungry. Hungry. He's got great submission game. He's got 9 submissions and 13 wins.
Expect this to be a good fight.
Absolutely.
I don't really know who to pick. I don't care. But I'd expect Archuleta probably with the experience.
Yeah, I would think Archuleta maybe.
We've got a co-main event that's interesting if you like
your
wrestling and your jiu-jitsu.
Very interesting.
We've got John Fitch versus Neiman Gracie.
Both guys coming off razor close decisions to Roy McDonald as well.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Roy McDonald, who is now sitting on the sidelines because he went to PFL.
True.
This is a tough fight right here. I mean, Fitch is getting old. but he doesn't show any signs of slowing down.
Actually, Fitch fucking drawed him, didn't he? Was it in a draw?
I don't recall. That sounds familiar. Sure it was.
And then homeboy just kept the belt because it was a draw.
You're right. It was.
Mm. Ty goes as a champion.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a problem with that, but Rory was very, I don't know.
Yeah, fuck
this Rory. Isn't about Rory, though. John's doing just fine.
Yeah.
So Fitch is doing what Fitch does, which a lot of people all, you know, like to say is boring. I dig it.
But
I admire dominance.
What happens when your biggest, you know, your biggest weapon becomes your biggest
weakness?
Weakness,
yeah,
really.
Dude, if Neiman Gracie is underneath, I mean, on the bottom, Fitch is in some danger.
Well, fucking either way, if it goes to the ground, there's so many different sweeps and stuff like that. That Fitch, I don't know.
This would be very interesting.
It's going to have to come down to Fitch controlling him on top. Like, he's going to need to do more than just ground and pound him. He's going to need to control his wrists and control his posture. Because if he doesn't, there's just so many situations where maybe he could be pummeling him into the ground, but then he just gets a wrist or gets, you know, throws a shot too far. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? He gets, like, a hold of him. You know what I'm saying? There's just so many other, like, small details that are going to have to be sharp for John Fitch to control this on the ground.
Yeah, he makes one mistake and he's in trouble.
Yeah.
Basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
Gracie doesn't fuck around.
No. So we'll Neither see. Guys do, though. And honestly, you know what this could end up being? Just because both guys know how dangerous each other is on the ground, this could end up... And possibly end up on the feet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
just
the worst kickboxing match you've ever seen.
It could, yeah.
Two guys
sure.
with subpar striking.
But two great grapplers striking right. it out.
It happens.
It happens for sure. It always happens because here's the deal. Is in the back of his head, Neiman Grayson's also got to be thinking is, yeah, John Fitch isn't a jiu-jitsu guy, but he's wrestled for fucking ever. You know, he's like been wrestling. Yeah. He's been wrestling his whole entire life. So you got to think he's got to have some great, like, control when it comes to, you know, movement and shit like that on the ground. Because, like, a lot of wrestling is all wrist control and shit like that. And a guy like John Fitch has showed countless times in his career that his wrestling is superior to a lot of other people's grappling.
There's some other good fights on down the card. A lot of young prospects coming in. I expect it to be pretty entertaining top to bottom. Whereas the UFC event, we'll also dive into that, UFC Fight Night 10. I can't believe it's on 10 already. Man, these things are flying by.
Yep.
Flying by.
I wish they'd fly by faster.
As we mentioned in the intro, we did lose the main event here. This was a kill. I mean, it was an absolutely great fight for a main event. We did have Glover Teixeira versus Thiago Santos in his first fight back since losing to John Jones. He had a knee injury, taking him a while to come back. Then, of course, the pandemic. Matt Teixeira on, a four-fight win streak now, coming off just a beatdown of Anthony Smith.
But here's the thing. I don't want to talk about this because I feel like it's going to be rescheduled in the super near future, and I feel like it's going to be added to, like, the next pay-per-view or something like that.
I hope so, because recovery time seems to be pretty quick if you don't have any... You know,
here's the thing is if you're
conditions in your life. So
if you're either of those guys and you look at the fight that's happening on that night, I'm asking Dana White and I'm saying, hey, you already got the title that I was fucking a round away from winning up on that card. Why don't you put me in right in the main event spot right underneath that? And we'll see who the real number one contender is, and then we'll see who the real champion is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would make the most sense and would beef up the card more. Because we talked about it, that 259, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is? I don't remember the number. Whatever.
Irregardless.
The Israel Adesanya-Paulo Costa card. It was pretty weak, and then they added the Jan and the Reyes fight
right
underneath that. And then if you add... Santos and Teixeira underneath that card, that's all that card needs.
Well, we wish Glover a speedy recovery from the COVID, and let's hope something like that gets scheduled pretty quickly.
When is that? That's in September 27th?
September 29th, I believe. It's 2 weeks from
I hope that gets rescheduled.
There. Absolutely.
I almost said re-recorded.
I hope so as well.
Yeah.
That did bump the co-main event, which is a women's strawweight. We see Michelle Waterson versus, yet again in another appearance this year, Angela Hill. I was a fan of hers since The Ultimate Fighter. And, man, she's been putting in work.
They robbed her of her last fight against what's her name?
Yes, she absolutely. I'm glad that she's getting right back on the horse here. Having another fight, because she definitely should have won. She's got her hands full with the karate hottie.
Claudia Gadelha. She got robbed against Claudia Gadelha.
She beat her ass
and got robbed.
I had her handily winning that fight. I couldn't believe she didn't.
Oh, my God, that was bad.
And that's a big name to for her to have gotten a win against, too.
Well, here's the thing. What's cool is it feels like the UFC also agrees.
Because they gave her another prime time matchup in a co-main event spot.
Huge for her. It's huge.
Yeah.
You got Michelle Waterson, who is just always in that picture. She's been around forever. And then Angela, who's really started to become a namestay of this division. I mean,
her skills have improved, man. That girl puts in hard work. She does hard work.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's going to win this fight. I like it.
I
think so. I think this is Angela Hill time.
I think Michelle Waterson gets
overkill.
This.
You think?
I think Michelle Waterson gets this just because I think Michelle Waterson is so downplayed. Her skills are so downplayed by the UFC. I feel like she never really gets like the big, big fights.
I think she's very good. I just think Angela Hill's hungry.
I agree. I feel like this is gonna be a really good fight, but I think Michelle's just a little bit more crisp in the end. She just has a little bit more.
A good name for Hill to push her into title shot.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So.
And then there's a lot of other names on this card, but.
Let's be honest here. The prelims are better. That's the only card we can. The whole rest of the card is on the prelims. They're better than the whole rest of the main card.
Like Brock Weaver, Frank Camacho, that's a great fight.
Yeah, that's on the prelims. We got Tyson Nam versus Matt Schnell on the prelims. Modafari versus Angela Lee.
Yeah.
Prelims.
Andrea Lee.
I always wanted. I had Angela on my brain. I'm just saying.
It's crazy to me. It's crazy.
And I don't know who any
of
the.
And what's even crazier is they don't have any of these fights on the UFC website. We had to look these fights up through, what was it, like MMAfighting.com or MMA.
Yeah, they show
Mania
two fights on
like
the card on the UFC main website.
It's craziness.
The aforementioned Angela Hill Waterson fight and then the Brock Weaver fight.
Yeah, those are the only two fights on there.
It's unbelievable. And
nuts.
I don't understand
They're dropping the ball.
Updating a website is really easy.
Yeah.
Like, I know virtually next to nothing,
but
I've been doing my own web stuff for years, and I could update their website for them if they hired me to do it.
They need your help.
I could do that work in about 20 minutes or less, bro. It's probably not even that much. Like, that's from never having seen what they have before. It's not hard. Like, I don't understand. They're a multi-billion-dollar company. What is going on here? You want to run a card every week. You can't even put it on your fucking website.
Well, that's the thing, too, is, like, all these cards are just, like, they're all getting announced, like, week by week. Like, there's no real, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, like, every 2 weeks they announce, like, four cards.
Well, look, for our listeners that don't know, the UFC is contracted by ESPN and Disney Corp, whatever, to put on 45 events this year in order to get a $750 million payout triggered.
Right now, they got 25 done.
Yeah, they got 25 done. Scheduled. They got 15 left scheduled, and there's two open dates left in the year. It perfectly nails out at their contracted amount, which is what they have to do. And so they don't care. That's why we can sit here and we look at this Fight Night Vegas 10, and it lost the main event. Okay. Who are these other three fighters on the main card? Other six fighters? I don't know who any of them are.
I mean, there's like names.
Like, I've seen your name somewhere,
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding? Yeah. I mean, no offense to them.
It's not on the fighter, though. No, it's on the UFC for the bad the bad marketing they're doing to promote these guys.
And then you go down on the prelims, which aren't even on their website, and then you see all these name fighters like Roxanne Modafari.
Yeah.
That's, any decent MMA fan knows who Roxanne Modafari is. Matt Schnell's been around. Tyson Nam. These are decent contender fighters.
Brock
in the
Weaver,
classes.
Frank Brock Camacho. Weaver,
Frank Camacho.
Like, come on.
Dude. At least he's Camacho.
Yeah. Like,
come on. It is what it is, though, but the prelims I'm definitely excited to watch. The rest of the main card, not so much.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Matt Schnell. We talked about that fight for a minute. I'd like to see him get a win. I've liked that kid since way back in the day.
Well, and that's the thing. In that division, they need someone like either of these guys to really have put on a great performance to really like kickstart the conversation again there. Because with like the whole idea of was the division up in the air for the last like 2 years, everyone's like, so are they going to keep doing flyweight fights? Are they not? Now that they've announced, like, no, we're keeping the flyweights. We've already made another title fight. It is what it is. Now these guys can really start campaigning for a title shot. You know, like, can, like, we're going to start learning more about their personality and, you know, get an idea of where they fit in this division. Although these
guys
should
be the co-main event.
Oh, absolutely.
What are we doing here? And Modafari and Lee should be the co-main or third.
I think it's
like
the last on the main card is the Modafari.
I mean, I get it's a free card, UFC Fight Pass, whatever. I don't get it.
But here's the thing is, like, although Matt Schnell and Tyson have been around for a while too, like,
they're still young fighters.
They're still, they're still
contenders in their division. They're absolutely, man.
Yeah. So I think it's great for the division, but I feel like this fight should be higher up on the main card for it to really get the shine it deserves.
The UFC is inexplicable in their decisions. We could debate it all day long. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Marketing fighters is the thing they do worst.
Yeah. Even their champions.
I mean, since Conor retired, it's like they're fumbling around trying to figure out what to do. They had to have Nate Diaz come along and invent a belt out of his imagination to stir up interest.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, for real, that was the biggest thing outside of the Conor fight this whole year was the BMF, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if I talk about shit that made a splash, and that's some shit that a stoner just like us just willed out of his fucking willpower into existence.
Yeah, he didn't give a fuck.
You know, unfortunately, he didn't get to run with
shit,
it, but...
Yeah. True.
You know, it looks like they are going to do that rematch. So let's dive into that for a second.
Yeah.
That's looking more and more solid here as we're going to, record here today that fight's going to get done.
In January, possibly. 2021.
I don't know if it'll end any different, but I'm down to watch it again. I hope. I would rather Nate won.
Let's tie something else into this real quick, though. So word on the streets, Nick Diaz is coming back. If Nick Diaz, and he wants to fight early 2021, why don't you do Nate versus Jorge, co-main event, Nick versus whoever, and fucking...
God damn. That is then the if card. Nate that loses, then it sets so up much. Nick versus
and it sets up Nick
Jorge.
Versus Jorge. Exactly.
And the Brothers Vengeance fight.
Yep.
Oh. I don't want to say I would like that to happen because that means Diaz will lose again, and I don't want that to happen, but... That would be sick.
And here, I got it even better for you. You know who Nick Diaz is going to fight?
I hope it's not a contender for the belt.
Well,
tell
here's
me.
Who it's going to be.
Who?
It's going to be Tyron Woodley. Because recently, Tyron Woodley has gone on every media space and talked about how close him and Jorge Masvidal are now and how they train together, and he's pushed him to become the man he used to be and the fighter he used to be, and now he's his real homie. So, all right, let's see it. Co-main event, Nick Diaz, Tyron Woodley.
You know, that could happen no matter what goes on next week with Woodley versus Covington.
Yeah, 100%.
Irregardless of that fight.
And that would just beef that. That'd be the sickest pay-per-view ever without a title.
Ooh, I'm kind of down with that, actually. It doesn't matter because I think Colby's going to beat him up anyways. But there was some heat there between Woodley and Diaz when Woodley was champ.
Yeah.
Woodley campaigned for that fight because that was a money fight at the time. Mm-hmm. Woodley wanted that Diaz.
It still is a money fight.
And it still is. There's still some... I would watch it irregardless of this Colby fight.
Yeah.
Which...
I don't think Woodley has a lot of chance to win. It's the hardest fight for him. I don't know why he took that
fight. It's the absolute worst matchup coming off the two drubbings that he's taken as a guy who actually does it equally as good. Probably better than Burns and equally... You know, this far off.
The only difference we have here is that Woodley's good against southpaws.
Colby can switch stances, though.
Yeah, but he generally fights southpaw.
We'll see. But either way, yeah, I like Diaz versus Woodley.
Under Masvidal versus Diaz too.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's put a pin in this Nick Diaz shit for just a minute, and let's bounce back to UFC Fight Night 10 because I do want to talk about the Roxanne Modafari versus Andrea Lee fight. Is maybe the last one on the card we talk about, but we got Roxanne making a pretty quick turnaround after kind of getting beat down, unfortunately, by Jennifer Maia in her last fight.
Yeah.
I mean, Jennifer Maia is a top talent. There's no shame there.
Yeah.
But I want to see Roxy get the win here. KGB Lee's pretty tough, though.
Yeah.
She's pretty tough.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is a tough fight for her.
Like, you got to give Modafari credit. She doesn't say no to any of these tough fights that she's offered. Yeah. Like, there's other people on the roster that she could be fighting that she'd be very favored to win against. And I feel instead, like she's taking, like, the toughest matchups possible.
Here's the thing is I feel like at least her mentality comes from, like, her being around the game for so long. Like, she was around back fighting in, like, in Asia and shit like that.
People don't know. She put in work for women's mixed martial arts, fighting in Japan.
Yeah.
You know, when there was no other women fighters in the USA. She had to do it in Japan, making money teaching English to students out there. I mean, so she could fight.
Yeah.
Like,
and then, so, like, I feel like where she's coming from now is, like, she knows that she only has so much time left in the game, and if she's really going to make a serious run at possibly even getting a title shot, these are the fights she has to win.
And she's done something that's very hard because she's older and she's very experienced, and then she grew as a fighter, which a lot of fighters just can't do. Like, she came here to Vegas. She hooked up with John Wood over at Syndicate MMA. Mm-hmm. And her striking has really improved. It was always a weak spot in her. And it's still ain't great. Still
pretty rough.
But if you look at her from before, it's definitely, she's gotten better.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is that I expect in this next fight, she'll be better than she was before because she's in there and she's putting in the work and whatever she's doing. She's got the humility enough to recognize she needs to improve, and then the athleticism, despite not looking like she's very athletic, to actually go out there and get it done.
I see what you mean.
She could win.
Yeah.
I'm not saying she's going to get her ass kicked or anything, but she's just not taking any easy fights. She's not.
She's what it is.
She's fighting the toughest she can, and I'm rooting for her all the way, and I hope she wins. So that kind of rounds out UFC Vegas 10. Yeah. Now we can shift back in. I just wanted to finish that out. And then get back into this Nick Diaz thing. Because, you know, we're talking about this because his manager made this big announcement.
Yeah.
That Nick Diaz did a 14-week training regimen and capped it with a test cut to welterweight in order to announce.
Then posted a video of him after he weighed in.
In order to announce he's coming back.
Yeah, and he looked in shape. He looked good.
So we're not just doing a hypothetical here, like, oh, what if Nick Diaz comes back? Well, Nick Diaz is coming back for all intents and purposes that we know. And that's pretty serious, dude. If you're doing a 14-week training camp and you do a test cut, you're not fucking around, man. That's pretty serious.
Absolutely.
I don't think it gets more. Haven't heard anything about him sparring or anything like that this whole
time. Nick Diaz is 37 years old. Let's put it that way.
He is 37, but he is also a little, unlike most 37-year-old welterweights, he's younger in fight years because he just hasn't been fighting. He hasn't had a fight in 5 years. And he hasn't had, before that, it was what, 2012, BJ Penn shit?
Yeah, true.
I mean, it's like two fights in eight years.
Yeah, he took a lot of time off.
I mean, he certainly put in his work before that, but he's taken a lot of time off.
He's partied a lot, though, as well.
Yeah, you just follow his Instagram, and you know all about that.
Exactly.
He's been out here in Vegas a lot,
mm-hmm.
getting his drink on, son. He ain't just smoking. Nick been drinking, but.
Well, and I wonder where the mentality shift came, because what happened to, I ain't trying to hurt nobody. I just want to party. He hit the fucking YG shit, and then he, like, didn't want to fight anymore, and now he's back? I'm confused.
Well, dude, I mean, I'm just throwing a wild ass guess here, but it could have been what happens to a lot of fighters is that at some point you realize you're out of shape as fuck and you feeling like you still got it, you know. So he gets back into shape, feels like he still got it, wants to compete. You know, the Diaz brothers famously like to say they don't like to fight, but they also do like to fight. I mean, for not wanting to fight, they sure are down to get into a fight, true, you know, and get paid to do it. So, I mean, I get it. I'm not saying they're lying. I'm just saying it's a duality. You can You can love it and you can hate it at the same time. And they clearly, they both love and hate it.
Yeah.
That blue dream. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, it's this fucking bottle bubbler.
Lay you out, sir.
But,
so,
I don't know, man.
If Nick
Part of me wants it to be great, but part of me knows it's just not realistic.
Dude, it's really tough because traditionally the Diaz brothers, while both extremely talented, they're both very similar in their fight styles, and they don't seem to have shown a lot of evolution over the years. Their skill set is still very good enough to I mean, they could go to lesser organizations and dominate with them still, quite likely. But at the top of the game, there's been a lot of changes since Nick Diaz got into the fucking, into the octagon. I don't know if he's kept up with that kind of shit. Dude, it's hard to get them to check a fucking leg kick. I mean, I'm not talking shit. They're excellent. I'm just saying there's a recipe to beating the Diaz brothers. And they, I mean, how did McGregor win the fight? With fucking leg kicks, man.
Here's the problem, though.
You know,
Nick is definitely the superior brother of the Diaz brothers.
Well, if you look at past versus present, maybe, but Nate's done a lot more at this point.
I don't think so. I mean, Nate's never even been champion.
This is true.
Nick's been champion. Nick's fought GSP. Nick's fought BJ Penn. Nick's fought had so many great fights.
I'm not denying it.
Here's the problem. Motherfuckers forgot. That's the problem. Honestly, that's really what the problem is. Is like, I feel like it's going to come down to him just going in there and putting on a performance is really going to wake everyone up and we're really going to see where he's at. Because, like, at this point...
And it's got to be a big name.
It's got to be. That's why I think Tyron Woodley makes the most sense.
I heard somebody talking some nonsense about Leon Edwards. He ain't fighting no
DC
fucking Leon Edwards. Daniel Cormier was trying to talk about Leon Edwards versus Nick Diaz. That'll happen never.
Never. I think it could be Robbie Lawler, though. Robbie Lawler makes a lot of sense as well. So that's a big fight.
That's a fight I can get behind.
It's a fight people can get behind, yep. It's a rematch. People have that vested interest. And then, you know, it's kind of a throwback.
I think Masvidal makes some sense.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to fight Masvidal because Nate's going to fight him.
Yeah, but if Nate loses, and like you just said,
2-0, then there's like, get his brother. I guess.
I don't know. But there's a lot of big fights there, but I don't think he's making a title run. I don't think Nick Diaz is going to be a welterweight champ in the UFC. And no disrespect, it's just, dude, you've been out for 8 years, you had 2 fights, and the game's
passed. I don't think he necessarily has to, though. I don't think that is maybe even the goal.
He should just do some money fights, man.
That's what I'm saying. I think the goal is more to put on a show and get paid.
Big fights.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fight for the BMF title.
Yeah.
You know.
Fight Jorge, yeah.
Fight Jorge. Fight Connor.
But if you're Jorge and you're trying to get back to that belt, you're not going to beat Nate and then go, all right, let's go, Nick.
You know, he could do that too, Nate and Connor could fight, and if Connor beats him, he could fight Nick too.
It's just like brother on brother crime, bro. Or they could fight each other, Nate versus Nick. They've had some drama lately in the media, dude. Like they've been kind of weird against each other, dude. Fight each other. Fuck it. They're both 170. Someone's got to get.
There's about as much a chance of that as the fucking Edwards fight happening. Fucking DC.
DC's crazy, but I understand his logic behind it, though. Like, I think he was just going down the line and being like, okay, this guy's booked, this guy's booked, this guy's booked, this guy's booked. But in all reality, he knows, and we all know, that in the business world, no fucking way would Nick Diaz ever fight Leon Edwards, even if he wanted to.
No.
Well, unless there was a belt attached.
Here's a question about DC. You read the news, right? It came out with DC and the UFC.
Yeah.
Chris Cyborg was reacting to it. So it comes out here in the past week or 10 days that after the first John Jones fight that he lost.
Yeah, he got paid $300,000. They handed him a $700,000 check to make it $1 million.
Yeah, they gave him $1 million.
Yeah.
And then he said on other things that they've done other stuff for him as well.
Pretty much similar shit.
And then Cyborg comes out and was like, yeah, that's why you're a shill for the UFC. You say whatever the fuck they want you to say while the rest of us fighters couldn't get paid jack shit. And what do you think of that? Is there validity there? Because let's be real. He comes out and says some pretty pro-UFC things all the time. He's very well-liked by the promotion for whatever reasons.
Here's my problem.
Yeah. And he even gets a job. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, like, compare the treatment of him to other fighters. It doesn't... Jones $1 million in a job. They didn't give Anthony Rumble Johnson didn't get that shit. Lionheart Smith, no. Yeah, I mean, yes, DC's more accomplished. Stipe don't have no job doing jack shit.
Here's the thing, though.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's the company.
Yeah.
I mean, now it doesn't matter so much because he's retired.
Yeah.
But is he a UFC shill? Personally, I think all these guys are.
Here's the problem. It's like, maybe he is, but like, at the same time, put yourself in his shoes. What are you going to do? Turn down $700,000? What are you going to do? Turn down 3 title shots? What are you going to do? Turn all this shit down?
Not be a commentator?
Like, what are you not going to be a commentator? Not be in the video game? Not do this? Not do that? I feel what they're saying, but like, what the fuck is he going to do? Not take the money they're fucking handing to him? Take it, like, I get it what they're saying and like all that shit, but him as a person coming from where he came from and like, you know, like, it's just not, if anyone else who had came from being poor to being rich just based off of fighting, like, it's not like he's doing crazy shit for the UFC. Like, it's not like he's going out and like lying under oath for them or anything like
he's
that.
He's not doing
he's
some all
taking jobs and fucking accepting money. Like, at the end of the day, like, yeah, he's always gonna be a shill for the UFC because the UFC changed his life forever. It's not because he's like against fighter pay and is like, oh, I hope no one gets paid but me. It's just me. Only me. It's like, that's just the way people were attacking him like that just didn't make any sense to me. I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, 100% he's always going to be for the UFC, but it's because of what they did for him, not because he's against fighter pay or equal pay in any way. It's just people drawing conclusions.
I'm just reiterating basically what Cyborg tweeted and then what the argument here was. I agree with what you're saying, and I'm really no fan of Cormier, but what's he going to do? Say no, dude, keep your
money. You're giving me $1 million? I can't take that money. Go give that to other people. I'm sorry. That's just not realistic.
People like his commentary, then good. I mean, just because I don't like it doesn't mean I don't think he should have the job.
Yeah. It is what it is. I'm never going to count someone else's money and then go, you don't deserve it. Like,
me
what?
Neither.
It's just,
and I didn't understand why Cyborg would say that unless she's still just so salty about the whole UFC experience.
And a lot of DC shit is all circumstantial. He got paid that $700,000 because he fucking filled in last second for the biggest fucking fight in UFC history when Gustafson was going to rematch Jones and Gus fucking pulled out a month before. And then DC rebuilt him and Jones and their chemistry rebuilt one of the greatest rivalries of all time. And so the UFC gave him a $700,000 bonus. They should have. That fight, the buildup, the ESPN interview where they're talking shit behind the camera, that's fucking gold. That's like in the vault history. Like, that's shit that the UFC will never be able to recreate. You know, like, 100%. That was real animosity between two guys that, like, had a past. And you know what I mean? Like, they deserved every single dollar they made for that shit. So for her to like try to say that he's wrong or that he's a shill because of that, she's just being salty about how her situation with the UFC went down. But don't get me wrong, like, on the side of fighter pay, like, yeah, he's not going to be against the UFC after they're doing all these things for him. But you can't look to people like him to be
objective.
People, yeah, to be those
He's not the objective judge of the UFC's business practices. Yeah, and he shouldn't be.
He shouldn't be because of, like...
Oh, I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're looking at the they're looking to the wrong people for results.
And it's not that much money anyways. It sounds like a lot, but for what they did and what they went through, there's still pennies to what you fucking pay boxers that are in that same position.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Blame the system. Don't blame the people that fucking benefit from the system. You know what I mean? Like, for real, honestly, for real, that's really how it is. It really is that way. Because, like, don't be mad at fucking DC because he, fucking gave his family generational wealth because he said yes? Like, what, dude? Like, I get she's mad because her whole situation with the UFC, but that's her problem. Those are deep-rooted issues between her and the promotion. That has nothing else to do with other people.
She's so salty.
She's salty as fuck. Like, that's just really what it comes down to.
Dude, you know what it comes down to? I'll fucking bet you anything, bro. It all boils back to that fucking Wanderlei Silva in a dress 100%. Comment, bro.
It is.
That's the whole root of all this shit.
Yeah, for sure.
And because you know Because
that hurt. That shit.
Because
hurt her feelings.
Being real, she looks like she could be Wanderlei Silva's sister.
Jesus.
And that's not being disrespectful. You look like you could be related. That's why it was like, oh.
He just said it in a real dickhead way.
He said it in a real dickhead way, and it was like, he really just said that. You know, that's what made it so fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And I'm not justifying his comment, but on the flip side, that is some shit to hang on to for so many years.
Well, don't blame Daniel Cormier for that. What the fuck, dude?
Where you're just mad at Cormier for getting treated well.
Yeah, like shit.
Like, damn.
Sorry. Daniel Cormier, it's like, you know, I'm not a huge Daniel Cormier fan, but like at the same time, I can't deny what he's done. Like, there's no denying what he's done.
He's very successful. He's a very good fighter. He's very successful. Just because I find his commentary annoying and his shtick just rubs me the wrong way. It doesn't take away his greatness or his achievements or the fact that, he should get that money.
Yeah.
I mean,
that fight was fucking huge.
He'd be fucking retarded if he didn't. I mean,
what was he going to do? So, just be like, you know, Dana, although you want to make me a millionaire after I've fucking fought for 30 and 30 my whole life,
I think I'm going to take a private stand.
Yeah, I'm going to take a stand right now. Because that's the problem, is like, it's never going to happen because it's prize fighting.
Fighting is a selfish sport, bro.
Well, not even that. It's not like fucking basketball or football or any of that shit where it's like everyone has the same job and everyone in every team does one thing. And, you know, some people who do it great, they're valued at this point because they're that valuable to the team. In prize fighting, your fucking value, your value changes every single time you fight.
Dude, imagine if they opened it up like boxing, though. If they used the Ollie Act and opened it up and ran it just like boxing, where you had fights put together and then promoters bid on the fucking fights.
I mean, that would make more sense. And put cards
together. So you could have like a fucking Michael Chandler coming over and fighting the fucking Khabib if the promoters just got together and bid on it and did it. You know,
that would make the most sense.
I would like it. It
wouldn't
solve every little thing.
No. Because there's still a lot of flaws there, too.
Yeah,
because then the promoters get in bed with the refs and the judges and the scores and the fucking everyone.
These guys would still make more money ultimately, though, I think.
Yeah, true.
But that's
another conversation for another day.
It's on the managers, right?
Yeah, for real. It's really what it comes down to.
I don't know what it takes
but
to be an MMA.
But attacking other fighters for taking money throughout their career is not the way to unionize. I'll tell you that.
No, it's funny. Fighters are funny. Like, you see, Conor, he just got named in the Forbes lists again, both the athlete list and then just the celebrity list in general. He came in at 53 on the celebrity just list overall, which is pretty huge. And he pointed out the fact that that doesn't include his proper 12 profits.
Uh-huh.
And people, you know, you read comments on MMA websites and people are clowning proper 12, but
that shit,
you don't have to listen to Conor. It's factual that was a massive success.
Yeah.
Like, his proper 12 is a huge success in the whiskey business.
Yeah.
Like, you can hate Conor and think it tastes like piss. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's a huge success.
Yeah.
Like, he sold off, bro, a $50 million slice of proper 12 to Cuervo Gold's owners this year.
Oh shit!
And that was ka-ching money.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That you know, he took profits in that shit.
Oh yeah.
$50 million for, like, it was like 30% was all.
Jeez.
Like, his company ain't fucking around. Like, Proper 12 is legit, dude.
Yeah.
Like, when Cuervo Gold buys 30% for $50 million, that's some fucking shit.
Yeah, sure.
Like, you don't need, and that wasn't Connor saying that. That was like in Business Weekly.
Yeah.
You know, like that was a big deal in the liquor world.
Yeah.
So, but that doesn't get celebrated by other fighters. No. You know, it gets celebrated by a little handful, but overall, everyone should, because they should be like, damn, what can I do?
Yeah.
To, like, doesn't mean you got to go out and emulate Connor, but you could see what he did still.
Yeah.
And figure out how to apply it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying Masvidal looked to Connor, but Masvidal did what Connor did. He went out and he changed shit up. Nobody heard of fucking Masvidal 2 years ago, 3 years ago, unless you were a hardcore MMA fan. Then he went out, he went off on his little thing, did his stuff, came back with a plan.
Yep.
And put it in action, and then got on the mic and did some shit.
Yep.
You know, more than just talking, he put it all together.
Yep.
You know.
That's the biggest thing, though, is like, at the end of this day, you still got to fucking win fights.
Yeah, you got to win the fights.
Like, you still got to win the fights.
You know, but these guys will never unionize because of that. It's just too selfish of a sport that they can barely even look to the massive successes and be like, you know, hand clap here.
Yeah.
It's always like, fuck him and his piss water. Or,
yeah.
You know, he's McTapper. And
like, yeah, shit like that.
Come on.
It's toxic.
Yeah, that there should be a fucking, like, there should be a business school for MMA fighters about how to run their careers, where they study people like fucking Connor and Floyd Mayweather that went out and made a shit ton of fucking money by doing their things different.
True.
And then, not that you can copy it and do it exactly, but you can learn.
Yeah.
You can.
Well, and here's the thing,
twist
is they,
it your way and make more money.
Maybe you don't have to do the things they did on the fucking outside as far as like the shit talk and all that, but you can do everything they did on the business side as far as investments and starting yourself businesses shit like that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Very smart stuff, man.
Or like fucking Ally Quinta. Another great example.
Al as well.
Al's a guy who's a fucking, you know, he's selling.
Yeah, you don't have to go out and be some massive multimillionaire like Connor. Al went out and got his shit done and leveraged his MMA status into real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Into the, you know, he wasn't just another real estate agent. He was the fucking UFC fighting real estate agent you can see on TV.
Yeah.
And he played that up in all of his fucking real estate stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's an example right there.
Yeah.
He's not copying what Connor did, but he's seeing you go out and you just,
you can use your name.
Yeah,
it's
you
your
use
name.
Your stuff
your
even on a smaller
brand.
Scale,
yeah.
Man. And then
it's crazy.
You just build, man.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Fuck. People clown on Al, too. I should be celebrating that motherfucker, too.
Yeah, it's. So, I mean, it's part of the problem.
Absolutely, dude. Fighting's like, a weird sport.
Yeah. Well, because, yeah, it's like I was saying before, it's because on any given day, your value as a fighter can start from zero to a fucking hundred. You know what I mean? It's like a guy, like you were saying, like Masvidal shows up. Everyone's like, what the fuck is Darren Till doing fighting someone like Masvidal? He just fought for the belt. Like, everyone's like, why is he fighting Masvidal? Masvidal comes in and takes advantage of a situation where he was going to be, you know what I mean? He's, like, he just beat the guy who fucking just fought Woodley.
He's
like,
actually doing,
like,
the smartest thing he could do as well.
It was crazy.
Is fighting this rematch with Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
Because
keeps the hype up.
It keeps the BMF thing going. Yep. It gets his shine back a little bit from losing in the short notice fight in the championship out to Usman.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to win again.
Yeah.
And it gets him that little bit of shine again. And then he can parlay that into another
or
payday, at least one more shot, you know.
Yeah, or Nick Diaz.
Title shot or something else. Smart.
Well, let's talk about someone else who's doing something similar to this. Now all of a sudden we're hearing Brock Lesnar's coming back. What's going on with that?
Brock, he always does this.
Yeah.
But there's a little bit.
There's a different,
slightly different this time in the fact that he's been scrubbed off of the WWE website.
Yeah, he's been and talks broke down between the two parties.
Yeah,
which is why he declared free agency. Like, you know what? I don't know how it works.
Stipe chiming in saying that actually,
if anyone's fighting,
if anybody's fighting Brock, it should be me. Fuck all of you.
And then you got Bellator on the other side saying, well, we'll make the biggest fight that never was. We'll take Brock Lesnar and we'll fight. We'll put him against Fedor. It'll be will promote it as the biggest fight ever. And are you fucking kidding me, dude? Everyone will watch that.
Brock has a legit chance of winning that fight.
Oh, psh, more than a legit chance. He's going to fuck him up.
He's got his hands full with either John Jones or Stipe. Could easily beat up Brock.
Yeah.
I think
so.
But he could fuck up fucking Fedor, dude.
Fedor, he's going to fuck up.
He could maul Fedor. As long as he don't get KO'd.
Yeah. Or like some judo shit.
Yeah.
Or not judo. What does he do? Sambo.
He's sambo and judo mix both, I do believe. But I mean, and that's not knocking Fedor, but Brock's in way better shape, dude. Yeah, Brock's still a beast.
Yeah.
And Fedor is over the hill.
Yeah. So I mean, they're both over the hill, though.
Yeah, but Brock's over Brock the hill. Ain't nobody else is over the fucking
hill. Yeah, but Brock didn't look terrific against fucking Mark Hunt.
He looked pretty solid. I mean, this was when Mark Hunt was still, you know, a little bit more.
He more or less just took him down. He didn't really deploy any of the ground and pound that he had before. He just more or less took Mark Hunt down and held him there.
Short notice still, too, basically. I mean, that fight came together pretty fast. But I thought it was a good performance.
I guess.
You know, it wasn't, he didn't terrorize him, but you know, Mark Hunt at that time was a top, five heavyweight, you know?
I don't know,
but I didn't think
he looked that great.
I think Brock is a live dog over in Bellator, and I think it's a big money fight, whoever he fights in the UFC.
Well, think about it. He can go to the Bellator, get a 3-fight contract, fight Fedor, fight Bader, and fight whoever else, and dip as a Bellator champ, and make two different legacies and two different reasons why people will say he was great.
UFC champ and Bellator champ,
and then dip out of the Fedor. And then dip away from WWE, because then he doesn't have the. They already got rid of Kane, which was supposed to be his next big rivalry. Was Kane was getting signed to WWE, and they did like 2 matches, and then COVID hits, and they had to cut Kane Velasquez. So now they take away his foil. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So then, I don't know. Could be.
You know, Bellator has the ability, as far as I know, to put on pay-per-views. I mean, they did the one MSG.
They did the MSG.
And this would be a time they're not going to put fucking Brock versus Fedor on DAZN.
No.
So they'll do the pay-per-view, and they can offer Brock a lot more money than UFC can because of the ESPN deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised, Paul, if what we see this time is instead of the traditional, which is Brock plays, you know, Vince McMahon versus Dana White, I bet he's going to try and play Dana Scott White Coker. Versus Scott Coker. Just to leverage Bellator into paying him more money, because it makes sense, dude.
Or all these big numbers start coming out, and then he just makes the WWE sign him to these bigger numbers.
Always a strong possibility with Brock, my friend.
Yeah, Brock's always in for that kind of
shit. What do you want? I would prefer he went to Bellator, beats Fedor.
I think Bellator would be his best chance.
Fights the championship.
It would just be interesting if he went to Bellator, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'd like to see him against Ryan Bader also.
Me too. So. Yeah, these are very different things than fucking around with Stipe and John Jones.
Yeah.
You know.
Although I do think Stipe and John Jones would be fucking ridiculously huge fights.
It would be. And Brock is capable of winning those fights. I'm just saying he would be heavily favored not to.
I don't know if I agree
heavily
with
favored
that.
Not to. But it's a heavyweight fist fight.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
Some shit could happen.
Yeah.
So.
True. But I think, Bellator makes the most sense for them.
That'd be dope. I'm behind
if he
it.
Wants to make like some big pay-per-view money. But it all really comes down to where he is physically, I feel like. You know, like when he like dipped his toe back into the UFC, what was that, 2 years ago now? Like
when he was winning up and pushed DC.
Yeah. That was almost 2 years ago now, huh? Yeah. So
he was so much bigger than Cormier.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is like I just don't was he really, really about to sign with the UFC? Like, how close were those talks? I would need to know just to really give you a real shot of what I really think is going to happen. You know what I mean? Because if those conversations were close, then I think John versus Brock is the biggest fight you could ever make ever. Like, ever, ever, ever. Like, ever, ever, ever. Like, it would be the highest-selling pay-per-view in the UFC ever, I think. Because Brock Lesnar has so much commercial appeal on top of Jon Jones having so much commercial fucking hatred. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of what he's done in the past. that fight is just money, 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 money. I don't give a fuck about the new ESPN pay scale. You better pay those motherfuckers. You know you're going to sell.
There's a possibility for that to happen as well, because if Brock were to re-sign with the UFC, he is going to have to submit to 6 months in the testing pool before he can fight.
That's another thing he ain't going to want to touch. None of that
shit. Bellator, nope.
Like, come on in, brother.
Just the standard commission stuff. Yeah.
I think he makes most
of it. They're doing a bunch of shows on fucking Indian land right now, which I'm pretty certain doesn't have much of a drug testing commission going on. Yeah, so let's be real.
Yeah.
That could pay an attention to it as well.
Yeah, true.
So I agree with you on everything you're saying. I'd love to see that John Jones fight. I think Stipe deserves the fight. I'd like to see Stipe to get that money. And I think he'll fuck up Brock.
I think so, too.
But I think most likely we're seeing Bellator and Fedor.
I think the Fedor fight's what makes the most sense.
It's that or back to wrestling.
Wrestling
for scripted money.
Which isn't always
big time
idea.
Money.
Yeah, fuck. Dude. He can get these MMA promotions to really offer him some serious money, he could take that back to the WWE and be like, what do you want me to sign? Like, you know what I mean?
Speaking of smart combat sports businessmen, athletes,
yeah, Brock,
look at Brock,
for
fuck's
smart
sake.
As fuck. Yeah.
And he's not one of these. He's like the opposite of
all
Connor.
Those WWE guys.
Brock
though.
Don't
look
like
at,
media.
Look at Brock Lesnar. Look at The Rock. Look at John Cena. Look at all their movies. All the shit they do on the side. Dude, those guys know how to fucking market themselves. They sell
and all in various all ways. Like, Brock hasn't gone the action star route. He loves his privacy, famously so. He doesn't get on the mic and do some crazy shit like The Rock.
Sometimes he does.
I mean, sometimes he does. He does all right, you know, but he's not holding pressers like fucking McGregor.
Dwayne Johnson.
You know.
Yeah.
You don't have no fucking YouTube channel following his ass around all the fucking time.
True.
You know.
Yeah.
But he still gets paid.
Yeah.
Paid.
He gets in there and he gets the job done.
And yeah,
why.
And he's exciting
he's
to watch and he's a freak.
Fuck.
He's very entertaining.
He's a specimen.
He is a specimen. So, word.
And he's like, I don't know, he's just entertaining as fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
he's got a lot of charisma.
Yeah, that's who, yeah, exactly. That's the word I was looking for.
I remember when he was fighting Overeem before the drug testing came in. I had a picture of that for the two of them facing.
But that was
off
even after he was hurt too.
Roided out dudes. Yeah, that's after
him
the
before he was hurt though. Imagine if they would have fought before he got hurt, dude. It would have been even more ridiculous.
Because Brock like, was a beast in
dude,
his prime.
Remember
and he was
when him
never
and Shane Carwin fought?
Yeah.
When him and Shane Carwin fought, you want to talk about two fucking freak athlete body, crazy looking motherfuckers. Him and Shane Carwin. Holy shit.
I know. It's two biggest hands in MMA right
ever.
There. Pounded on each other's faces with them giant lunch boxes attached to their arms.
Dude.
Man.
Fuck.
It was a good reffing in that fight, too, because clearly it shouldn't have been stopped. You know?
Bro, that should have been stopped.
Hell no, dude. Brock ate
was
it.
Brock
ate it like a man.
Up, dude. He was getting faded up.
But he was fine, though.
In the end, because Shane Carwin fucking got tired.
Brock
he woke him
ass
up.
Out.
Yeah.
Woke
that
beast.
Was a sick ass fight,
that
though.
Was sick stuff, man.
I remember when that happened, I was like, how? How is he not out?
Listen, some people don't know Brock was at like 30% in his UFC career.
Oh, yeah.
I don't, I mean, he crazy health problems. Diverticulitis is no joke.
Oh, yeah. Why do you think GSP hasn't fought for the last 6 years, dude? He's had similar. Not diverticulitis. I think he has actually had diverticulitis.
I think he did, yeah.
But he
I don't know
some,
if he had the same, like Brock had to go up a bunch of surgery.
Yeah,
and all
Brock
that stuff,
has like had like a foot taken out of his freaking small intestine.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy.
It's craziness.
He had issues.
Yeah.
But he's doing fine now.
Fuck. I think that's the biggest thing, though, is him going to Bellator would make the most sense.
I agree with you, my friend.
Well, I think that wraps today's show up. I
think it does. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And catch the show on Spotify, on YouTube, Google Podcasts, anywhere that you get your podcasts from, video on YouTube. We're still on WBUZ95radio.net and the Orange Radio app. You can get all that information where?
SWATMMA.com, where you can head over there, click the gear button, buy yourself a t-shirt, support the podcast.
We're going to get back to smoking this blue dream over here. Hope you're puffing on something good, too. We'll see you next week.
Peace.